Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Last Sunday we began a short four-sermon series on worthwhile things. There are some things worth living for. There are some things worth dying for. Amen? Amen. Last week we noticed there's a Lord worth being served. He called us to be evangelists, to spread the gospel message. Today we're going to kind of continue that thought as we think about souls worth being saved. They're all around us that God loves, Christ died for, and we need to reach out to them with the gospel. On the night of April 14th, 1912, in a little over 3 hours, thousands of passengers lost their lives in the icy waters of the Atlantic Ocean and went on to eternity. Following the sinking of the Titanic, the White Star Company, which had built the ship, placed a large billboard in front of the entrance of their office in Liverpool, England. On the board, they printed the letters, "Known to be saved." There was a list of names under that. Then the other column was "known to be lost." And again, another column of names that had perished. When the Titanic began its maiden voyage, they had three classes of passengers. They had first class, second class, and third class. But when it ended, that number was reduced to only two. Those that were saved, those that were lost. I bring that up because we're on a voyage through life. This ship is sailing with passengers of all ages, all backgrounds, all races, all classes. But really, when this ship of life finally pulls into port and sounds the last call, there's only two kinds of people. There's the saved and the lost. There's the saints and the ain'ts. If you're not a saint, you ain't. It may not be good grammar, but that's good doctrine. Amen. Either you're a saint or you ain't. We're going to look at one of the saddest verses in the Bible this morning, found in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Prophet says the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Instead of thinking the summer is ended, we might say the year of 2020 is ended. And yet many are still lost in their sins. There are many that we need to reach out to with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're told in chapter 10, you know, Jeremiah is preaching this to the people of Jerusalem, trying to get them to repent and get right with God. He says back in verse 10, "Everyone dealeth falsely." Everyone dealeth falsely. There's many out today that need to repent of their sins. They need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There is a Lord worth being served. There is a message worth being shared. Come back tonight, Brother Matt's message is there's a tear worth being shed. There's a soul worth being saved. As we think about that this morning, there's three truths here I want to share with you. First, there's a time that should concern us. He's speaking of a harvest time, a time, he says, that is past. This time, first of all, reflected nationally. As he's addressing the nation of Israel, speaking of a definite time that's reflected nationally. He's speaking to a nation. He's speaking to the king, to the leaders of that nation, to every citizen. No one is excluded from this. It includes everyone, and it's reflected to every citizen of our country. The harvest is past. Can that be said of America? The harvest is past. The harvest time is passing right before our eyes here in America. Researchers have concluded that the unevangelized portion of the earth is growing at a rate of 23,600 people per day, faster than are being evangelized. And it's interesting, it said, of every 93 invitations given to people to come to Christ, 87 are given to those who are already saved. We're talking about in our churches when the invitation is given. 87 are already saved. 7 are given to people who've already been evangelized, yet have not yet come to Christ. But only 1 out of 95 is given to somebody who's never heard the gospel before. Now, you might think, well, that's because there's not that many people. No, on the contrary, there's a great multitude of people in this world today that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to that survey, over 4 billion people on earth have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 4 billion. It calculates to 23 people who die every minute without having ever heard the gospel. That's over 32,000 every day that are dying without Christ. Jesus said of his time in Matthew 9:37, he said, we talked about this last Sunday, this was our text, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. Think how it is today. The harvest is plenteous. There are so many people we need to reach out to with the gospel. Now, the two fastest religious groups today are not even evangelical Christian churches. They're cults. Cults are the fastest growing religious groups today. And the gospel they're sharing is a perverted gospel. I know there's churches meeting all over the country. But folks, I want to tell you that most of them are not preaching the gospel. Most of them are not really giving a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has the harvest, is it passing us by here in America? Some say we're just gleaning the after harvest in this day and time. Without a doubt, the harvest is reflected nationally, but it's also reflected personally. See, it's always got to come down to personal accountability. Well, it's a grim reality that America is perishing. We think about the nation. Let's bring it down to our neighbors. Do we have neighbors living around us that are perishing? Do we have co-workers on the job that are going to perish without Christ if we don't reach them? What about your classmates? Do we ever think about them in that light? Without a doubt, folks, this harvest time is reflected personally. We know about the law of harvest, don't we? Bible says in Galatians 6:7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we usually think of that in a negative sense, but there's a positive side to that. It goes on to say in verse 8, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we can sow the good seed. And we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. We're sowing the good seed of the Word of God that people might hear and believe and be saved. Someone has determined that if a person is not saved by the time he's 21, the odds are 5,000 to 1 that he'll ever be saved. If he waits till he's 30, the odds grow to 15,000 to 1. At 40, it's 30,000 to 1. By 50, it's 150,000 to 1 that person will ever give his heart to Jesus Christ. Let's do our own survey. We've done this before, but let's do a survey. How many of you were saved before age 20? Would you raise your hand? If you were saved before age 20, all right. How about were saved between the age of 20 and 30? Would you raise your hand? Okay, there's a few. How about between 30 and 40? All right, there's about half a dozen there. Over 40. How many were saved over the age of 40? I see one hand. Now, as you noticed, as we went along, that number dropped with each group. That, folks, that's why we should have a very aggressive youth ministry. We need to reach these young people while they still have tender hearts. Because the longer you go without Christ and rejecting the gospel, the harder your heart's going to get. That's why it's difficult to reach those of advanced years. So we reach out to these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I said, we see many church buildings all around us. And yet how many of them are really preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Folks, there's people sitting in churches today that are as lost as they can be because they never hear the true gospel. That's amazing, but it's true. I remember years back, we had a young man who was coming with his girlfriend who was a member of our church. And he came for a while. He was raised in a Protestant church. And one Sunday he came to me. He said, "Brother West, I need to talk to you." He said, "I was confirmed at the age of 12 in the church I grew up in." He said, "Brother West, is that the same as being saved?" "I was confirmed." I said, "Well, let's talk about it." We sat down and talked, and I shared the gospel with him. And at the end of it, I said, "Well, what do you think you need to do?" He said, "I need to get saved. I've been trusting in my confirmation." That's not salvation. Others are trusting in their baptism. Others are trusting in their church membership. And there are churches that say you've got to belong to their church to get to heaven. Now, we're not one of them. The Baptist church can't save you. No church can. And there's many that are trusting in their good works to save them. And I'm talking about church-going people. They think they're saved. They think they're on their way to heaven. But they're trusting in the wrong thing. There are many who go to church that are lost. And there's a lot more who do not go to church. They're just as lost as they can be. Now, folks, listen. We need to be raised from our comfort zone to realize that there's a great need of this hour. The harvest is passing. The harvest time to gather and reap will soon be gone. Second thought I want to share with you is a truth that should consume us. He speaks of a specific season. He says the summer is ended. There's a specific season to harvest. And that harvest time will pass when the summer is ended. Back in the Middle East, the harvest of wheat was, I read, in May and June. They had 2 months to bring in the harvest. When it got past June, it got so dry, the sun was so hot, that it would just cook the wheat in the field. When the summer ended, the harvest time was past. Just as there's a season for harvesting crops, there's a season for winning souls. Folks, we have a specific time in this lifetime to do this. I remember Jesus said in John 9, 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. Jesus knew his time on earth was short, and he had to fulfill his mission in that short time. Well, I remind you, our time here is short. Amen? Our time is short. And the work that we have before us, we need to take advantage of every opportunity to tell others about Jesus. Hey, when the trumpet sounds and we're called out of here, that's over with. It's over. No more opportunities to speak to your friends or loved ones about Christ. We do it now. We do it now or never. Right? The time to reap will soon be over. We don't have any time to waste. It's a specific season, and it is a short season. 2 months to gather in the sheaves. We have a few short years to gather in the souls that need Christ. Hey, we got all eternity ahead of us. Amen. We have all eternity for other things. But only this brief sojourn here on earth do we have to do the great work of soul winning. I told you before, this generation of saints will answer for this generation of sinners. Amen. We're going to answer for those who die without Christ that we failed to reach out to. I heard of an intramural basketball game. It took place at a university between the engineering faculty and the medical faculty. The score was 34-33 with 1 minute left. The team of engineers stole the ball, and for the rest of the game, they just passed it around, keeping it away from the opponent. Finally, the buzzer sounded, and they discovered they were the team behind. They were so busy trying to keep the ball away from the other team, they forgot they needed to score to win the game. Now, in much the same way, I think some churches get so wrapped up in things that are really not that important and lose sight of the fact there is a harvest to reap and a short time to do it. A lot of times we major on the minors. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. The Great Commission to us is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Win those that are lost. We have all eternity to celebrate other things, but only a short time to get the work done here. Folks, the sun is about to set. The summer is about to end. And many of our friends and loved ones are not saved. Folks, are things more important than your favorite ball team winning a championship? Something's more important than how much money you make. Something are more important than how big a house you live in, or how fine a car you drive, or how many toys you've accumulated. Amen. We're speaking here of things that have eternal importance. What really matters is not the temporary things of this life. It's those things that will last forever. We're going to win the loss. We've got to do it now. We cannot put it off much longer. Folks, this truth should consume us in this year to come. This may be our last year. I know you say, Brother, you've been saying it for 40 years. But I've never seen a year like we just went through. Amen. There's no sign of it getting better. There's a lot of things going on that really show that we are definitely in the last days. The end times are here. The summer is almost ended. The third thought is this: a tragedy that should compel us. This should compel us because we see a tragedy for the sinner, those that are lost. We're about to run out of time. The Lord's coming, and many of our friends and loved ones are going to be left behind. Probably lost forever. That's not only a tragedy, it's a travesty. The word saved that is used here, it's a very powerful word. It speaks of being delivered or rescued from danger. It means to be safe from impending judgment. If we have any here this morning that are lost, please understand what I'm saying. The harvest is passing. The summer is ending. And you are in danger of dying and forever being separated from God. It's very important to understand that. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not rejecting Jesus Christ. I'm just putting it off. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe what the Bible says. And I've not yet accepted Him as my Lord and Savior in repentance of my sin. But I plan to do that someday. Don't they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions? I believe there's a lot of people in hell today that intended to get saved one day. They thought they had plenty of time. They kept putting it off. Putting it off. And then death comes unexpectedly. And they're cast out into eternity without hope, without Christ. Don't do that. If you're lost, don't put it off. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:15, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your heart to the invitation God is giving. It may be the last one you ever hear. I preached the last sermon some people have ever heard. One young man in particular, years ago, was visiting with family members that were members here, and he was lost. They told me he was lost. During the invitation, I kind of watched him. I could tell he was under conviction. But he refused to come. He refused to accept Christ as his Savior. He refused to profess Him as his Lord. That very week, that young man was killed in a car wreck. I've often thought about him. The last sermon he heard was from this pulpit. The last invitation was right here. He walked away. So I'll preach, you're trying to scare us. You bet I am. Because it's scary to die without Christ. It's scary. Where are you going to spend eternity? God may be calling some of you today. Don't put it off. As I said, the more you put it off, the harder your heart is going to become. And there may come a time when God stops calling. Do you know that? You could say no once too often. And God says, all right. That's your final answer. He can give you over to a reprobate heart and never again call on you. And if God doesn't call, you'll have no desire to be saved. See, this is not something you decide. If God's calling, now is the accepted time. It's so dangerous to put it off. Your time will pass. Not only a tragedy for the lost sinner, but it could be a tragedy for the saint. Time's running out for the lost. But as I said, time's also running out for us. Their time to be saved is soon to end. Our time to reach them with the gospel is soon to end. You see that? It's going to be a tragedy for some at judgment day to look back and see all the wasted opportunities. Maybe to see wasted years during this life. I mentioned the Titanic in the opening. John Harper was a preacher on the Titanic. He was offered a seat on the last lifeboat to leave the ship. He declined it. He said, "Give it to someone else. I know I'm saved. I know I've got a home in heaven. I'm going to stay on board and try to take as many of these people with me as I can." So he spent that last hours of his life going from person to person. He said the same thing: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The ship sunk. There were many holding on to pieces of wreckage, waiting, hoping to be rescued. Harper kept witnessing to those around him. As they floated along, somebody would come close to him, he would reach out. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." One man who survived that, who was rescued, went back to John Harper's church to testify. His testimony was, "I believe I was John Harper's last convert." As we float along, Pastor Harper came near and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And for a while he shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I did pray and I was saved. I believe I was John Harper's last convert. John Harper, shortly after that, went under surface and died. This man was rescued. Like Brother Harper, as I think about that story, we ought to live as dying men, reaching out to dying men. We're all dying. Amen. I'm going to give you something nice to think about today. We're all dying. We're living around a multitude that's dying around us. We ought to do like Pastor Harper. Reach out to as many as we can and just tell them, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." May we always see the need, the necessity of this late hour. Folks, listen, if we don't do it now, when will we do it? If it's not us to do it, who will? Who will? Folks, church, the harvest is passing. The summer is ending. And many of our friends and loved ones are still not saved. Someone wrote this very sobering poem. Let me share this with you. When the choir has sung its last anthem, the preacher prayed his last prayer, when the people heard their last sermon, the sound has died in the air. When the Bible lies closed on the altar, the pews are all emptied of men, and each one stands facing his record, and the great book is opened, what then? When the actor has played his last drama, the comic has made his last fun, when the film has played its last picture and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd-seeking pleasure has vanished and gone out into darkness again, and the trumpet of the ages has sounded, we stand before God, what then? When the bugle's call sinks to silence, the long marching column stands still. When the captain repeats his last order, they've captured their last fort and hill. When the flag is hauled in from the masthead, the wounded from the fields checked in. When the world who rejected its Savior is asked for a reason, what then? What then? But then it's too late. It's too late. They will have to say the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. I want to ask Brother Sam and the musicians to come. Let me close with this story. D.L. Moody, famous preacher of the last century, he once took this text, Jeremiah 8:20, and preached it, gave the invitation. Lost young man was in attendance. He was under deep conviction. But during the invitation, he made no move. He would not be saved. Years later, Moody was back in that city preaching another campaign. A woman came to him and begged him to come visit her husband who was dying. When they got there, they found that the man was very close to death. This dying man motioned for Moody to come close so he could whisper something to him. Moody leaned over to hear, and the man in a raspy voice said, "The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and I'm not saved." Moody looked at the wife. She said, "Years ago you came and preached. My husband and I went to hear you. You preached on that verse. My husband was under deep conviction, but he refused to be saved. Now, ever since he's found out he's dying, the only thing he ever says is, 'The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and I'm not saved.'" Then the dying man clenched his fist, drew his last breath, and went into eternity crying, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved." If you're not saved, don't leave here in your lost condition. You have an opportunity today. Don't leave here rejecting Christ. Don't leave here refusing His invitation. It may be your last chance. This may be a date you regret for all eternity if you don't take advantage of this opportunity right now.